righteousness.
It's that time again for Kingdom Building, right here on WAIF 88.3 FM Cincinnati. Stay tuned for Kingdom Building.
Righteousness, peace, war, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God.
You're promising
righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost.
Oh,
righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Don't you want to be a part?
WAIF is a community radio station, serves only to open its airways to responsible, divergent points of view. The opinions expressed during this program do not reflect the views of WAIF, its staff, or Board of Trustees. The opinions expressed reflect my own views or the views of my guests. Thank you for listening to WAIF Cincinnati. Hey, everybody. Just got a word from Noah, and the ark is being built. So get ready. Get ready, because, you know, you can't even imagine, with all the rain we've had, you can't even imagine how much rain there was.
I think we're coming up on 40 days, though.
Well, but I think it rained for 40 days and 40 nights straight through. I mean, can you imagine that? I mean, to flood the whole world? I mean, wow, that's just crazy. So anyway, God bless you, Cincinnati. Hope you're dry. Hope you're healthy. And hope you're prospering in the Lord. We're here again. We're here every Wednesday from 12 to 1. My name is Rich. I asked Mike if he would bring the topic, and Brother Pastor Oscar is here also. I got a call from Tom Katenkamp. He said he might stop by, but if you're listening, brother, you're welcome to stop by. We'd love to have you.
Bring your pontoon boat.
Bring your pontoon boat, yeah. So, well, anyway, how y'all doing today?
I'm good.
Good. Good.
Better than we deserve.
I tell you, that's for sure.
Ain't that the truth, Oscar?
But I tell you, this the amount of rain is seeping into my basement. I'm not digging that at all. But what are you going to do? At least we have a roof over our head and we're blessed, right?
That's right.
Okay. All right. Well, Mike picked hope as our topic today. So, Mike, you want to kick this thing off?
Well, you know, the Lord's been dealing with me about it because I just feel that there are so many people around anymore that feel like they have no hope. No hope for their future, no hope for anything in their life, you know. And it's just been kind of weighing on my heart for the last couple of days. You know, since last Sunday when you guys, we were talking and you said you might not be here. So I sat down and I looked up the definition of it, which I thought was pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. It says it's a desire of some good accompanied with an expectation of getting it or a belief that it is obtainable.
That's good.
An expectation of something which is thought to be desirable, confidence, pleasing, expectancy. You know, and don't you think that's what we all want? Mm-hmm. We want to expect that we at least can see the light at the end of the tunnel. You know, some people don't. I think there are a lot of people who feel like they can't see a light at the end of the tunnel. And you know, that makes it tough. I was listening to an old time radio show on the way down, and it was George Burns, and they had Al Jolson on. He was singing, "I'm sitting on top of the world," mm-hmm. singing my song, you know, and that's what we should be doing. We should be sitting on top of the world singing songs of the Lord,
mm-hmm.
you know. But I've got a scripture I want to start with is Hebrews 3:6. Wait a minute, did I pick the right one? I did. And this is in a simple English version of the Bible. And it says, "But Jesus was faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house. So if we hold on to the confidence and of the pride that our hope gives us." Wow. You know, if we're Jesus' house, you know, we should be able to have hope in everything that goes on in our life. Because if it says Jesus is faithful over his house, you know, what that means is he takes care of it.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to do whatever it takes to keep his house sturdy and ready, you know, and be ready to be lived in.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that gives us the hope and the confidence, just like it says, hold on to the confidence, just like in the definition, and the pride that our hope gives us. You know, we should be proud that we're hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine to be proud to be hopeful, because if you're hopeful, then you've got something to look to. Mm-hmm. You know, you can look forward. We need to quit looking in the past and looking at all the things that have gone on in the past, you know, and so many people, look in the past, not just yesterday or the day before, but years back, to things of what they've gone through. And now it's time to move forward. And you can only move forward if you have hope. And the only hope you're ever going to get is with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
Good.
Yeah. Well, I just happened upon Job 11, and it says, "If only you would prepare your heart and lift up your hands to him in prayer, get rid of your sins and leave all iniquity behind you, then your face will brighten with innocence, and you will be strong and free of fear. You will forget your misery. It will be like water flowing away." Well, we've seen a lot of that lately. "Your life will be brighter than noonday. Even darkness will be as bright as morning. Having hope will give you courage. You will be protected and will rest in safety. You will lie down unafraid, and many will look to you for help." Hope. Yeah, that's hope is definitely something that is lacking in a lot of people out there, because you can only take so much.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you've ever experienced this, where it just feels like you just keep getting beat down, beat down, beat down, beat down, and sooner or later you lose hope. You get beat down enough, you're going to lose hope. I don't care if you're the greatest man of faith in the world. You know, you're going to lose some hope.
You can do it, yeah.
You're going to lose some, you know. Mm. So the key is to hopefully not let those things affect you. Because if challenges affect you in the adverse negative side, then you're going to get beat down. But don't let yourself get beat down. Control whatever comes your way as the sovereignty of God, and you're going to sit there and say, "Okay, Lord," like Oscar says all the time, "what do you want me to learn from this trial? What do you want me mm-hmm. to learn from this test? I am not going to let these things beat me down. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to stay in the Word. I'm going to stay in prayer. I'm going to lift my hands, like it says in Job, that lift my hands to him in prayer. And I'm going to focus on him, not the problem."
Mm-hmm.
I think we lose hope because we focus more on the problem.
Right.
Well, you know, and the other thing I think, Rich, is we think that we're alone. You know, and if you're trying to if you're struggling with your problems or whatever you want to call them, and you're trying to do it by yourself, you're never going to get anything accomplished. Mm-hmm. But if you're walking with the Lord, you're never alone. Mm-hmm. You're not only never alone, you have the power of the Lord, which is more powerful and more of everything that you can imagine, to help you through those times when you're going through struggles.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Mike, there's a scripture that says, "Hope thou in God," and you know, you can hope in a lot of things out there. You can hope in jobs, you can hope in family members, you can hope in cars and possessions and everything else, but all of those things ultimately will fail you. And, you know, the only thing that you really can hope in, and you have a true assurance that it'll never fail you, is God.
Amen.
And, you know, in Colossians 1:5 it says, "For the hope which was laid up in heaven, therefore you heard before the world the truth of the gospel." And you know, the truth of the gospel is that he had a great mystery that was hidden from past ages and past generations. Mm-hmm. And that's Colossians 1:27 says, "To whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." And you know, that's the true thing that's going to ever cause you to have assurance. Amen. Or confidence in the things of this world is Christ in you, because like I say, all those other things can fail you. I mean, banks can go bankrupt, businesses can go down, you know, family members can turn their back on you sometimes, and that does happen. You know, a lot of different things can happen. If you're hoping in those things, you know, and that's truly where your hope lies. And one of the definitions of the word hope, if you look it up in the original Greek, is to anticipate, usually with pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the good thing about it is that when you deal with God and your hope is in God, you can anticipate with pleasure whatever is going to happen, because all things work together for good of them that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. That doesn't mean all things are going to look good when they happen, but ultimately God will cause them all to work together towards the good.
Yes.
Of you coming to a greater knowledge of him. And like I say, all these other things can fail you, you know.
I like it says in the message on Psalms 42, it says, "Why are you down in the dumps?" If you're down in the dumps, you need to listen to this. "Why are you down in the dumps, dear soul? Why are you crying the blues? Fix my eyes on God. Soon I will be praising again. He puts a smile on my face. He is my God."
Mm-hmm.
"When my soul is in the dumps, I rehearse everything I know of you, from Jordan depths to Hermon Heights, including Mount Mizar. Chaos calls to chaos in the tune of Whitewater Rapids. Your breathtaking surf, your thundering breakers crash and crush me. Then God promises to love me all day. Sing songs all through the night. My life is God's prayer." I like that. That's really good. And you know, we sit here and we sit behind the mic and don't think for a second that we got it all figured out.
No.
don't even think for a second. I mean, Mike and I have been serving the Lord over 30 years, Oscar over 50. Just because of that does not mean you got it all figured out.
No.
Just because of that doesn't mean that you don't fall short from time to time, because we do. And all we can tell you is this: he loves us no matter what. Even when you fall short, he loves you. And what always happens, the difference between maybe us and a non-believer, we know just like the prodigal son, when we do fall short, we know exactly where to go to find the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Oscar said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is so close to you that he's right there at your next breath. And so all the answers, all the mysteries are solved, all the questions are answered in him. So why would we want to go anywhere else? I don't see anything out there that could possibly bring about hope, peace, love, all the things that represent Jesus Christ. I don't see anything out there that could even come close to that. So let's go to, like John said, or I'm sorry, Peter said to Jesus, Lord, where can we go? You have the words of life. You are light. You are the life.
Amen.
The way, the truth, and the life. So you are the life. Where else can we go? That's the way I look at it. And if you look at it too, I guarantee you, whatever comes your way, I'm not saying it'll be easy to deal with. I'm not saying that at all. But whatever comes your way, you will be able to come up with some hope in having Jesus as your Lord and Savior.
Well, I don't know how to say this, but how many times have you seen or heard or something, you know, where someone they may not be a believer or maybe they are a believer, but things get very, very dire, and what's the first thing they do? Oh God. Oh God. You know? They should have been doing that all along. I hate to say that, but they should have been. But the thing is, God is always there. The Lord is never gone. He's never not by your side. And, you know, the thing that just gets me is it's hard for people to understand that. You know, if... I've got a brother who's not a believer, and I can tell you, he will argue with me all day, but even deep down inside, he has even admitted to me that there's got to be something bigger than him, bigger than science, bigger than all the other stuff. And it's obvious, you know, I hate to say it's obvious, but it is obvious. If you look around, there's something bigger than all of us, and it's not the galaxies, it's not the universe, it's not all that. It's who made it all.
You're listening to Kingdom Building right here on WAIF 88.3 FM, Cincinnati. Our lines are open at 749-1444. Give us a call. If you have a prayer request, we will pray with you. You do not have to give your name if you don't want to, but give us a call at 749-1444. If you have a comment on the topic or you have a testimony, give us a call, 749-1444.
You know, Rich, in the scriptures, there's a lot of examples of people who really had no hope. You know, there was a man one time who had sat at the gate beautiful, and he had sat there probably for years, and he would beg alms, which is money, from people that would go into the temple because he was lame. You know, he couldn't work from his youth up. I mean, from being a child, couldn't work, couldn't do anything. He just lay there and begged for money, and little did he know that one day, a couple of the disciples were going to be passing by his way. And this was after Jesus had been resurrected. And they came up to him, and I believe it was Peter and them, and he said, look on us. And he was expecting to get some money from them. And boy, he got something way greater than money.
Yep.
Because they told him, they said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And Scripture says he not only rose up and walked, it says he went walking and leaping and praising God. This was someone who had been crippled and couldn't do anything. But, you know, he this was a man that had no hope. And guess what? Hope came his way that
hope
day.
Came.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And it came in the form of Christians who knew the Lord and who were moving in the Holy Spirit. And I tell you what, that's you can, like I said before, you can hope in a lot of things. And you're going to get failed by a lot of things that you hope in. You know, I've bought brand new cars and thought, boy, this is the nicest car. Man, I really like it. You know, a few years down the road, the thing's burning on or the transmission went out.
Junk.
I bought a brand new car one time. I think the transmission went out on it three times. I finally took it back to the dealer and I said, either fix this thing or take this piece of junk back.
Yeah, really.
You know, but the thing is, you can't hope in those things. The only thing that you can ever really hope in is in God. And, buddy, that guy who had been lame from his childhood up, he was sitting in the place called a beautiful gate.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? He was about to have a beautiful experience. Mm-hmm. He was about to have an experience with God. And he went walking and leaping and praising God. And, you know, Mike was saying, you know, that he had a brother that had a hard time believing. But I tell you what. Just like this guy here, that there was probably people sitting in the temple or around that he knew that didn't really believe in God that much, you know, because people do that. People go to church sometimes and they're not really devoted to the Lord, and some of them haven't even given their life to the Lord. But you know what? That man was a witness for Jesus Christ mm-hmm. everywhere he went after that, because he was totally lame, and yet God restored him. And not only did he go walking, he went walking and leaping and jumping up in the air and praising God, I'm sure. And, you know, Jewish people are very exuberant at times anyway. And I can just see him going down the road, just jumping and leaping around and praising God. Man, I can walk, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And people saying, we've seen that guy sitting at the temple from the time he was a little boy, begging for money. And, buddy, just think of the hope that stirred in people's lives as they saw him. And that's the only thing that you can hope in is in God. You hope in anything else, it's going to fall short and it's going to fail you.
Amen.
The when you were talking, I was thinking that someone is out there listening that, you know, maybe has given hope on different things, but this was specific what I felt the Lord spoke, that they had given up hope on their healing.
Yeah.
Because they had prayed and prayed. They've needed a healing like this brother at the gate, beautiful.
Right.
I think the Bible says 30-some years he was coming to that gate since almost he could...
Yeah,
know what he was doing, you know. Right. I mean, as a child, I think. Don't give up. You know, I guess what I'm trying to say is don't count on your healing. Count on the healer. In other words, sometimes we get so caught up on the healing that we miss the one that's doing the healing. So keep focused on the Lord. He is the healer. And if you're focused on him and you know he is the sovereign God in all ways, then whatever's going to happen is going to be for your good, because mm-hmm. all things work together for your good. So whatever it is,
right.
If you don't get healed, does that mean God doesn't care about you? Does that mean God isn't healing anymore? Does that mean? No, it doesn't mean any of that. God's got more work to do in you. So, you know, don't give up on the healing. You know, keep your focus on the healer. He's mm-hmm. the healer. And you need to stay focused on him. And then, you know, like Paul said, hey, I've got this thorn in the flesh. And I've asked three times for the Lord to remove it. And that's guess right. what? He didn't remove that's it. Right. He didn't remove it. But that doesn't mean that he won't.
That's right. That doesn't mean that.
You know, it just means right here and now, when he wrote that scripture and he wrote that epistle, he said, you know, I asked him to take it three times. He did not. But praise be God, because he is still on control, in control. He's still on the throne, and I'm still going to trust in him.
You know, Rich, when I was talking about that, that band sitting at the gate, beautiful, called, if you go back into the original language and you look up the definition of that word beautiful there, I think it's really neat. It has the meaning. It comes from a word that means to belong to the right hour or season.
Wow.
And you know, there was a right hour and a right season for that man to be touched. And it took Peter and John coming by. I believe it was, I'm pretty sure it was Peter and John that came by.
Peter and John. And how many times did Jesus walk by that man and look over at him, not say a word, but in his inner being, he's saying, son, it's not time yet, but your day is coming.
That's right.
And it's coming soon.
That's right.
Not only Jesus, we don't even know, but it could have, Peter and John could have walked by.
Oh, they did.
Yeah.
But I mean, Jesus, who could, I mean, other than when he was in his own hometown, everybody he healed got healed.
And, you know, I will tell you this, is that sometimes there's times when you are in a position where you're not in a position to receive healing because you won't let the faith rise up in you. I mean, it said that Jesus went to some towns and many were not healed because of their lack of faith because they couldn't believe, you know. And this man, you know, he had sat there for how many years? I mean, like you say, he was 30-something years old. He'd probably sat there from the time he was a kid. They probably stuck him there to get some money, you know. And here, guess what? Like you said, Jesus probably passed by a bunch of times. And, you know, he went into the temple a lot.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and he probably passed by him many a time. But you know what? That was saved for those two men to walk by that day after they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when Peter said to him, look on us, and that man looked on him, and he was expecting to receive some money.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter said to him, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk.
Mm-hmm.
And buddy, something happened. Something miraculous happened. And the hope that he had of receiving money turned into a hope of his body being restored to where he could rise up and walk. Wow, what a tremendous story.
Mm-hmm. I like in Psalms 119, 114. Isn't that interesting how big and how long that psalm is? It's I'm quoting out of verse 114, man. That's crazy. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word.
Yeah.
And then in 116 says, uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. See how important the word is?
Oh, man.
I mean, the word, and we're not even just talking about the Bible. Yes, we're definitely talking about the Bible, but if you get a word from the Lord, if the Lord says, you know, like the Lord told Oscar's mom that he would be healed of epilepsy. So guess what? He was healed of epilepsy.
Yeah.
Once the Lord gives you that live word in your prayer, so if you're not spending any time with him and you're not communing with him and you're not praying, which is just talking to him,
right,
how are you going to get a word? I mean, yeah, he can squeeze a word in a donkey. You know, he did that.
Right. He did that. That's right.
You know, he can squeeze a word here and a word there, but he just appreciates spending time, quality time with you, just no different than a child loves spending quality time with a parent.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing.
That's right. That's right. You know, in 1 Corinthians 9:10, it says, and this is, again, this is in a New English version, a simple English version, it says, does he not speak entirely for our sake? You know, I mean, isn't the Lord speaking entirely for your sake? It was indeed written for our sake, because the one who plows and the one who separates the grain should hope for a share of the produce for their work. Now, you know, when I read this, I thought to myself, well, the one who plows, but I'm thinking for the one who believes. And the one who separates is the building of his faith. You know, if you're walking in the Word and you're following the Lord, you know, He's going to give you your share of hope. Mm-hmm. That's what it's saying. Everybody's going to do that. You, if you're walking with Him, He's yeah. going to give you what you need to survive, to be with there.
Exactly. And, Mike, what the Word says is, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord.
Amen.
So, you know, if you're trusting in other things and not the Lord, your hope's in the wrong place. It says, blessed is the person, I'll say, that trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Mm-hmm. That's where, I mean, you're not going to be disappointed if you're trusting in the Lord, because you're going to realize that He's working all things out after the counsel of His will. Not your will, His mm-hmm. will. Mm-hmm. And if He's working all that out after the counsel of His will, guess what? It's going to be for your good. You are going to benefit from that, because He who has begun a good work in you is going to complete it. It's okay. going to be completed. So, you're going to go through trials. I heard someone on the radio this morning say, any preacher that tells you that once you get saved, all your problems go away, look out.
That's right.
Run. Get away. Because I have to admit, I mean, I have been challenged more as a believer in the last 30 years than I was ever challenged as a non-believer. Mm-hmm. But guess what? I'm able to deal with things a little bit better than I was back in the day. When things come my way, I don't overreact as much. I'm not saying I don't overreact from time to time, but I don't overreact as much because God is bringing me into that maturity.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Mike.
Well, you know, Rich, you know, it goes back to control.
Who's in control?
Who's in control? And, you know, it goes back to what I said at the very beginning. If you're trying to do it by yourself and you're trying to be in control, mm-hmm. you're never going to win. Because you have to rely on the Lord. You have to.
Yeah. And there's so many scriptures, Mike, that say hope in Him.
Mm-hmm.
Hope in Him. Don't hope in, like Oscar said before, your job, even your spouse. You can love your spouse, mm-hmm. but you know what? From time to time, they may even disappoint you.
They can fail you.
Yeah.
You think? Yeah. Yeah. Anything can happen, right?
You know, Romans, the 5th chapter, I love this scripture because it begins to tell you, even the problems that you go through, it tells you what it's all about. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into His grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, also knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope.
Mm-hmm.
And hope makes us not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely will a righteous man die yet. Preadventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than us being justified by His blood, we shall stand and be saved from the wrath through Him. Mm-hmm. And you know, I love that, because He tells us that even the tribulation we go through is to work hope in us, because we experience that God meets us in these situations. Mm-hmm. And then the next time you get in a situation, you can be hoping in God and mm-hmm. trusting in Him, see? And Scripture also tells us that hope is the anchor of our souls.
Mm-hmm.
It's the very thing that anchors us to God. Because if you don't hope in Him, then you're hoping in things that are going to fail you eventually. Amen. They will.
You know, Oscar, and I know we got to do this real quick, but I'm going to just follow up on what you said. if you look at back the definition I said, it says at the end, an expectation of something which is thought to be desirable, confidence, which is what we're talking about
right.
today,
uh-huh.
and pleasing expectancy.
Right.
It's just like you were saying. You know, you go through a trial, and the Lord gets you through the trial. The next right. time you go come up with a trial, you're expecting him to show up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's called faith.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
A lot of times, too, people will come to church, and they don't have an expectancy. They're not expecting to receive anything. And to be honest with you, when you go to church or when you gather together with other Christians, you should expect every day to have some kind of mm-hmm. interrelationship with God in your work or whatever you're doing. I've told different people that, you know, a job that I used to have, you know, I would ask the Lord, help me do this job as unto you that'll bring glory to you. Because, you know, people knew I was a Christian. I didn't go around hammering them that I was a Christian, but they knew I was a Christian. And you know what? He let me know things sometimes that actually astounded me.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, there sometimes I would have bosses who were supposed to tell me something so that I could make sure the jobs got out of the place on a proper, you know, schedule. And they wouldn't tell me. But yet somehow the Lord would always let me know, and I would always be able to get things done on time, and I would always be able to be way ahead of the curve on almost everything I was doing. And it wasn't because of me, and I knew it wasn't because of me.
Mm-hmm.
It was because I was trusting and hoping in the Lord.
Amen.
And because I would say to him, Lord, please help me to do this job as unto you today, that it might bring glory unto mm-hmm. you. And you know what? He did. He met me every day, and I had them people tell me. And at this particular job, the company had been in business for 100 years. I had the owner of the company come and tell me, "You're the best supervisor we've ever had in this company." And you know, I didn't attribute that to me; I attributed it to the Lord,
mm-hmm.
because I knew He was the one that was making me be better than what I really was and
all
smarter than
him.
What I really was. That's right.
Yeah.
And I knew that, you
all
know.
All glory to him.
And I gave him the glory, you know, and I'd thank him. I'd say, Lord, well, thank you, Lord, you know. But I'm just telling you, even in your situations out there, in your jobs and everything else, if you do your job as unto the Lord and you mm-hmm. hope in the Lord, you'll find out that he will cause you to be even better than what you really are at your job,
mm-hmm.
because it'll bring glory to him.
Amen. Yeah.
Okay, we need to do a little quick business here. In response to an increasing number of abused and neglected children in Kentucky, the Diocesan Catholics Home, Children's Home in Fort Mitchell is searching for foster and adoptive parents. There are now more than 350 children in Kentucky's foster care system waiting to be adopted. If you can help, please call Ron Birch at 859-331-2040. You can check out the WAIF webpage at www.waif883.org. At the webpage, you will find program grid of the WAIF on-air schedule, streaming audio, links to WAIF programmers, web pages, and all the other current news about what's going on here at 88.3 FM. Check out the webpage, www.waif883.org. Experts say women make most healthcare choices in a home, including what to eat and which doctor to see. Groups such as National Women's Health Resource Center work to help women make more informed choices. The center publishes a free family health handbook organized by life stages ranging from birth to old age. It can help to make it easier to keep up families' changing health care needs. For a free copy, call 1-877-986-9472.
You know, we're talking today, if you just tuned in, about hope. And you're listening to Kingdom Building right here on WAIF 88.3 FM. And if you have a comment or if you have a prayer request, give us a call, 749-1444. But in Romans 8, it says that we are saved by hope.
Right.
Okay. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it?
Right.
So guess what? Sometimes we have to wait.
That's right.
And waiting is not just sitting back in your lazy boy, kicking back and just doing nothing. Waiting is pressing into the Lord, spending time with Him, praying, praising, you know, relationship building with the Lord. But I also in Romans 12:12 says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. It's just what we've been saying for the last 40 minutes, all the things that we've been saying. So just, that's why it says get in the Word. I mean, there's been many times in my life that I didn't know which end was up. I really didn't. And I would get into the Word, and God would answer me right there in the pages of my Bible. He would answer the question, and that gave me hope. That gave me peace. That gave me contentment. I mean, it gave me all these things. Uh-huh. And I didn't have any of it until I opened up the Word. Sure. And I'm not saying that you spin the wheel and whatever scripture comes up, you know, where you open your Bible and boom, I expect wherever I open this Bible and put my finger, there's going to be the answer. Could that happen? Absolutely, yes. But I think it's more sitting back and saying, because I'll sit back sometimes, I'll say, okay, Lord, here's the Bible. I want to read it. You point me in the right direction, and I'll hear a number, or I'll hear a book of the Bible, or I'll hear sometimes the book and the scripture, and I'll go there, and it'll be right exactly what I needed at that time.
Yeah.
But that's the voice of the Lord, which is His Word, too.
Yeah.
It's not just the Bible, which is so very important, I believe, in everybody's life. Even if you're not a believer, get the Bible out and start reading it. If you don't understand it, just ask Him, Lord, help me. Help me. I don't understand this. Help me to understand it. And He will. He will. If you spend enough time. I mean, I can remember as a brand new Christian, I wanted to read the Bible from front to back. Mm-hmm. I did it.
Right.
How much of it did I actually learn? Probably not a lot, but it was just something that I wanted to do. It was something that I thought was supposed to be done once you became a Christian. But guess what? Now, instead of that shotgun approach, now, you know, God allows me to be a sniper, and I can go right to where I need to go to get the answer that I need.
You know, that story that you was talking about, you know, just flipping through there and wherever your finger landed. These guys were doing that, and this one guy was a really wealthy guy, and he flipped through there and put his finger, you know, had his eyes shut and put his finger on it, and it said chapter 11. He was a little upset about that one because he was afraid if it really came true, he was going to have to file for a chapter 11.
There was another one where he put his finger down and it's go out and hang yourself, you know, Judas. And he says, oh, that can't be it. So he pulled another, he flipped the pages, put another one, put his finger down, and it said, go and do likewise.
Yeah, that don't work too good.
No. Have I ever done that and it worked? Yes. Yeah. But I don't do it anymore. I did it maybe as a baby Christian, but,
I'll have to admit, there's a few times that I've opened the scriptures and felt like that was the
right
scripture
there.
And
I'm not saying he can't use that and do that, which he does from time to time, but it's not a game, folks.
No,
you know,
not.
It's a lifestyle. It's basically having, knowing and realizing that the God of all creation dwells in you.
Mm-hmm.
He dwells in you. And so if we want access to every mystery, every question, everything that's out there, it's all within.
You know, Rich, I used to kind of be over the people at church going to the mission. We'd get down to City Gospel Mission, and we did that for quite a few years. And I'd always just wait, as I got to be an older Christian, I'd always just wait, and I do that even now, until the Lord gives me whatever he wants me to share. I don't just try to work up sermons and all that kind of stuff. I just wait until I feel inspired. And, you know, I was supposed to speak down there that night, and I kept waiting, and it got time to go. And I was thinking, oh, my God, Lord, you didn't give me nothing. I don't know what to do. Because, I mean, you know, I could, you know, I've spoken enough times where I could just get up and start talking. But I really didn't want to do that. I only wanted to share what the Lord would have me share. So I went over, and I got in a drawer where I had some notes from you know, other messages that I'd shared and stuff, and I pulled them out. And I went down there, but I still was questioning.
You pulled out the insurance.
Yeah, that's what it was. And I stuck it in my Bible. And I got down there, and we went in the back room, and we'd go in this back room, and we'd pray before we'd go out into the assembly out there and speak. And we're in the back room, and we're praying.
Still nothing.
And there was a tremendous anointing in that room. I mean, it was very strong. You could feel the presence of the Lord. And then it came time for us to go out into the assembly. And Carl Marcotte, he was the head of the mission down there. He came back and he says, "This has never happened before. There's no one out there." And you know, I had to laugh. I had to smile. I said, "Well, Lord, you know what? You just taught me a lesson that if you don't give me something when I'm supposed to speak, guess what? That's because there wasn't no need for it. But yet, we were faithful. We went. We prayed. We did everything we were supposed to do, you know, before it would have been time to speak." And that taught me a lesson that hey, if you don't give me anything, Lord, that means I'm not supposed to share anything that night.
Either he'll give it to someone else or
right.
Nobody.
But there was nobody there to give it to. So, you know, I learned a valuable lesson there in that I should never get upset or worried about speaking or whatever, because God knows what he's doing, you know. Amen. And he wanted to teach me that. And that was a lot of years ago. And I was a fairly young Christian at that time. But praise God, you know. He has a way of teaching you things.
Amen.
Yes, he does.
Amen. You're listening to Kingdom Building right here on WAIF 88.3 FM. And as I said earlier, if you'd like to comment or if you'd like to, a prayer, us to pray with you, we would be glad to do so. And the number is 749-1444.
You know, I've been sitting here, Oscar, and I've been thinking for a few minutes about the scripture we talk about in church, all of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Mm-hmm. And I don't have any, but I'd like to know the definition of what glory means there. Mm-hmm. And I think the folks on the show would like to hear that. It's not what you think, I'm sure, folks.
Well, I'm not sure. I'll have to look it up, but it might be the word doxa. I'll have to look it up, but I'll look it up in just a second here. But it's probably the word doxa, which means glory as being very apparent. You know, it means like being extremely apparent.
Well, you know, that's very interesting, because when you say very apparent, it goes back to what we've been talking about all day, hope and expectancy.
Yeah.
You know, it goes back to the expectancy part of it, that we expect the Lord to move in our situations. And it's like Rich said, may not be right this very moment, but we expect him to be moving into situations in our life that are zapping our hope into where we can go, move on to, you know, to the future.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what we all want. We want to have that freedom to expect the Lord to do that.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing, I think, too. A lot of us don't feel we have the freedom to expect the Lord to move into situations in our lives. We're afraid to, you know, look at what we did, and maybe we're the cause of why we're in the situation we're in.
Amen. I'm not getting any internet here, so I was looking up glory, but it's in there like almost 400 times.
I mean, yeah, I know it is.
But yeah, here, let's see. Here, it did come up. Okay, it is doxa.
Yeah.
If you go with the Greek, it's doxa.
Yeah.
And had it and lost it. Okay, but it is doxa.
I'll give it to you.
You've heard of the...
I've got it here.
You've heard of doxology.
Yeah,
you know.
Doxology, yeah.
Yeah.
And here's the definition of it. It means glory as very apparent in a wide application or figuratively objective or subjective, dignity, glorious, honor, praise, and worship. But it's glory that's very apparent, you know. And, you know, haven't you ever met some people that when you meet them, they don't have to say a whole lot, but you just know that they're really, really a nice person. Or I mean, it just emanates from them, you know. And you know, the thing about Jesus, when he traveled around, it was rumored that he was there. He didn't have billboards. He didn't have the internet. He didn't have Facebook. He didn't have any of that stuff. But yet large crowds. I mean, when he had, what was it, 4,000 people he fed one time?
5,000.
Another time it was 5,000.
That doesn't include women and children.
Yeah, doesn't even include women and children. That was just men. And how did all these people gather there? How did they even know he was there? Because the glory of God was there, and they were drawn to that. And that's the neat thing. When the glory of God that's going to be revealed in us, like it says in Romans, the 8th chapter, I reckon that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. When that glory begins to be revealed with the fullness of God, people are going to be drawn to that. They're not going to be able to stay away from that, because it's going to be so apparent that it's glorious that they'll want to come and see. Because they, you know, Jesus knew that his earthly ministry, in the sense of in the natural, was coming to an end when some of his disciples come and told him, said, the Greeks are coming and they're saying, we would see Jesus, you know. And, you know, they've been saying that ever since he was crucified, and the people of the world are saying, we would see Jesus. But I tell you what, that glory is going to be revealed in his people. And when that glory comes forth, it's going to be so apparent and so glorious that it's going to begin to set the captives free and set creation free into the glorious liberty of being the children of God, you know.
Yeah, you know, I like what you were saying before, right there, when you said when Jesus was walking around, he was rumored to be in the area, and then people gathered. Now, why do you think they gathered? They gathered in the hope of seeing Jesus.
Yep.
And what was their hope? That, of course, they were thinking earthly king, a lot of them, I'm sure, but they were hoping for the freedom that they were going to receive by having Jesus come and open their lives.
Yeah, by then the word had gotten out that people were being healed of leprosy. People were seeing, you know, blindness had been healed and they could see.
People who had demon possession were
being
set free.
Demon possession was set free. I mean, so that they were, and that's the hope.
Yeah,
that they were having, that maybe Jesus could heal me. But it's so much more, you know. I don't care, the most miraculous healing that's ever happened, except for a couple people, everybody ended up dying. You know, that is important, don't get me wrong.
Right.
That is awesome. I love healing stories,
Right.
But there's something a lot more important that's eternal, and that's a relationship.
Yeah. Well,
that's eternal. That's forever. You know, healing is going to, you could get healed. Even Jesus, after 4 days, told Lazarus to come forth from the grave.
Right.
That's a miracle.
It was
an awesome miracle.
Sure.
But you know what? Lazarus died.
Yeah, he's not around here today.
I didn't see him walking down Vine Street in downtown Cincinnati.
No.
He died. So, yeah, healings are important. Yes, getting delivered and set free. That's all important. All this is important. But the most important thing that the Lord wants is your relationship with him.
Right.
Time, effort on your part to get to know the Lord better.
Right.
He dwells in us. So guess what? Let's spend some time getting to know him. How do you do that? Getting in his word.
Right.
Praying, praising, doing what he tells you to do. I mean, it's amazing how if you go out and just start loving instead of hating, it's amazing how that's going to revolutionize your life.
You know, Rich, I start every day. I say, Lord, your will be done in my life.
Right.
And you know what that does?
That gives up the control.
That frees me up.
That's right.
That frees me up to walk in peace.
And trust in him.
And trust in him.
Well, then when you say that, you've put yourself in a position to where you say, okay, Lord, no matter what happens today, I'm trusting you.
Yeah.
And you know what? It takes all that heavy load off of you because you don't have to figure it out. You don't have to work it out. You can just say, Lord, I'm trusting you. It's going to be okay.
Yeah.
There was a day a couple weeks back, Julie and I had a bad day, and I'm not going to lie, it was not a fun day. I wouldn't want to relive that day anymore. But guess what? Tomorrow there's another day.
That's right.
And no matter, I always said, I don't understand suicide because I've never. I asked the Lord one time, did he, you know, take me? Because I was done, but I was never at that point where I would be able to kill myself. And I think there's times where a person, if they'd wait 24 hours before they did it, maybe not, I don't know, but if they'd wait 24 hours, maybe something would happen and the Lord would intervene and they would realize, that's probably not the answer.
Right.
You know, the answer is him. And, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and even this, which if you're at that point of suicide, you're at a very, very low point.
Well, if we had time, I would tell you a story, but we don't have time
we're
about that.
3 minutes away.
Yeah, I don't
here.
Have time to tell you, but there's a wonderful testimony of a guy who experienced death, and God showed him a lot of things. And then he came back, and he ended up being a psychiatrist.
Mm-hmm.
Sometime I'll tell that story when we get a chance, you know, but we don't have enough time today.
Sounds good. All right, Cincinnati, we are through with another program. Wow. That hour went by quickly. Thanks, Mike, for bringing the topic. God bless you, Cincinnati. We're so glad that you tuned in today. Make sure you catch us next week, 12 o'clock on Wednesday, Kingdom Building. And coming up next is Tara Robinson with The Ultimate Risk.